All right, well, we hope you're all enjoying the Sci-Fi Festival we've had here these last few days. And now we have a special post-apocalyptic poetry piece in our presentation tonight. Frank from the Post-Apocalyptic Writer Society will now read you a poem that he says he created especially for this presentation. So, yeah, let's welcome him here to the stage. Frank?
Greetings and salutations, my friends. Tonight, I will be reading you a poetry piece which I have entitled Ode to the Post-Apocalyptic Genre. O blessed apocalypse, the world I know, undone by large-scale global event, like a nuclear war or zombie outbreak, or global climate shift, if you believe MSNBC. Sweet chaos, order within the insanity. Though millions die by your unfolding events, your sweet stories bring my life happiness. I take solace in the warm blanket of your stories of human survival and of courage undaunted, and find the muscles in my face smiling automatically at the idea of giant radioactive ants. Sweet zombie apocalypse, how I shriek with happiness at the very thought of trying to escape a Toys R Us connected to a large shopping mall, with thousands of undead minions reaching for the very brain meat inside my skull. Brains, you say? Oh, silly, silly zombie, my brains are not for you. And why do you always ignore the dog running by your feet? He's right there, and not even trying to run. Perhaps I use a modified Nerf gun to escape your grasp, or a baseball bat that I found in sporting goods. Or maybe I built a contraption out of a combination of Legos, a G.I. Joe helicopter, and a chemistry set that I found on aisle 4 that enables me to fly through the windowed skylight above and simultaneously rain homemade napalm onto the hordes below. Oh. Zombie apocalypse. Though no one ever knows how you started, with the exception of that one short story by Stephen King with the alien worms, I ask no questions and accept the reality in which you give me, for it is during the panic and the empty cars on the freeway, with always one lone zombie eating someone in an SUV, that I find myself truly, truly at peace. And you, nuclear apocalypse, you silly cliché, when I hear your air raid sirens and see your giant mushroom clouds, I smile to myself nearly every time. For I know in 10 years when the fallout clears, though that timeline is highly unrealistic, I know that I will leave my crates of spam in my bunker to emerge into a new world of excitement and possibility, of large skyscrapers barely standing, of cannibalistic raiders who would like nothing more than to feast on my kidneys.
Ew.
I wrap myself up in the blanket of your many small starving villages and mutated animal life, of your oil refineries being sieged by large Mohawk men on motorcycles, and that one lone man with a dog and V8 interceptor who was always so angry that they named him such. You see, this is my wild kingdom, Marlon Perkins. And though most of what Carl Sagan has told me has been said to be likely incorrect, though no one can prove it, I kneel in reverence at your story's telling. I bask in the radioactive glow of your story. I act as though I could easily live there, even though I nearly screamed earlier today when the ATM refused my credit card. And nothing brings me more happiness than you, sweet alien invasion force, enslaving my race so you can steal our mineral resources. Oh, we're out of time. I see. Very well. I will skip to the end. Order within the chaos, happiness and peace amongst the screaming crowds and running people, and that one lady who always seems to drop a shopping bag right in direct front of the camera. Dies the fire? Oh, no, no, no. For it is in your fire that I find life, and within your death that I find more life. Apocalypse, I love you. Hold me.
That really wasn't that good.
Oh, shut up. The producers would like to apologize for the complete ridiculousness of that last program, and would like to let the listeners know that the people involved have all been killed, and that we will now be airing instead Through the Aftermath.
Welcome back, everyone, to this 32nd episode of Through the Aftermath. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is my co-host, Jonathan. How you doing, Jonathan?
Doing good. Still alive.
Still alive?
Yes, yeah. That radiation storm that came through here just recently, two of my children died, but other than that, everything else is fine.
Well, they say, you know, when the storm comes, don't hide in the glowing barrels.
That's true. I learned that, unfortunately, badly. Right now, somebody out there is going, I thought he only had two kids. And then there's some old guy out there going, that's just terrible, Maud. He's doing it again. No, it's great to be back. There was a little bit of a lot going on for us these last few months, so it's good to come back after a little break there.
Yeah, we it's one of those things where we're like, wow, it's really been 2 weeks already. Oh wait, it's been 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks. I did exactly the same thing. I'm like, oh wait a minute, that's oh dear.
But yeah, it's good to have another show going on, because we, you know, the post-apocalyptic news has not stopped for us. You know, it's still, games. I mean, the games are amazing. Actually, it's funny, Bethesda, just themselves, not only counting like, you know, Fallout 3 and the continuous stuff that was going on with that, but they also have Rage, they have Brink. That's supposed to be...
And Rage just upped the ante on the content. Man.
It's incredible. And then, we've talked a lot about the correlations between the Old West and, post-apocalyptic, and I have been playing the heck out of Red Dead Redemption, and it's another one of those where it's just, you know, desolate, kind of desert wasteland-looking thing, and it just reminds me, that game reminds me of a mix between Fallout 3 and probably Grand Theft Auto 4.
Like, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think that's a good mix. But I've been having a lot of fun with that, and we won't make this a Red Dead Redemption podcast, because it's a
yes. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Through the Aftermath, Red Dead Redemption. No, but that's pretty much what I've been up to. But what about you?
Oh my goodness, yeah. Now that my world has been calmer in the recent weeks, well, except for last week when. Yeah, but between my birthday and those of you out there, you probably have heard me refer to my Uncle Rand. He was the one who, on the Christmas skit we did with us singing, you know, that's my uncle. He's been on the skits a couple times. He got himself married, and which brought both jokes about the apocalypse along with the cheers. So, we were asking, you know, why did he feel compelled to make sure the Mayans were correct? there were those of us, such as myself, who the night before he got married was gazing up at the sky, watching for any incoming asteroids. So, but no, it's been good. I've been playing quite a few games. Got into pretty hefty into Global Agenda, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about in the not too far future here. And then also on the TV show side. You know, checking out quite a few things. I've been watching that show. That's still watching that British show, Survivors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, really, really good show, I might add. That really good stuff. But the one I was going to mention, too, that was kind of funny, I pulled out kind of looking at the dystopian-style movies, because that's been kind of the post-apocalyptic thing a lot of my games and movies have been doing lately is pulled out the old Terry Gilliam classic Brazil.
Oh, nice.
Oh, my gosh. It was so funny because it was on TV on one of the old channels, and I DVR'd it, and I haven't seen that movie. I got to be honest. It's probably been 20 years since I've watched that show, and I forgot what a hoot that movie is, but also just how visual, as far as, you know, coming from the post-apocalyptic side, how good of a job at making it feel like that, you know, totalitarian world in Britain, and everybody's paranoid of everybody, and the way that they parody it is just ridiculous, but just how many big name people are in that movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's huge. But yeah, that's a great one to go pull out and watch again now because it's Terry Gilliam, the guy's out of his freaking mind and has been since Monty Python, but just amazing visuals on that one.
You know what, that movie, I'm always reminded of that movie every time I see 12 Monkeys, which of course he directed as well. But there's that one scene where they take Bruce Willis and there's all these people around him, and they're asking him all these questions about what he saw and things like that, and going to the future. And that's straight out of Brazil, so Terry Gilliam. I love that, but that's like the biggest connection between the two movies is right. I think is in that scene, but yeah, he's a great director. Oh,
just a hoot. And I mean, just the concept, because a lot of people are like, well, I didn't really understand the movie. And I remember being a little kid and being like, I don't understand the movie. But then I watch it now and I'm like, how can you not understand the movie? It was like, it's that simple. It's like, there's a misspell. The wrong guy gets taken to jail. He goes and finds the girl. How hard is that? But it's funny watching all the, you know, the overtones, the things he's making fun of in general, and the fact that, you know, Ian Holm playing his boss is absolutely terrified because they got the wrong guy and now they owe her money. And how are we going to get her to the money? He's like, well, why don't you just have her cash the check? Oh, great idea. Now they'll know it wasn't us. Oh, wait, she doesn't have an account. Oh, now we're dead. And they're just terrified of the government, like, knowing what they did. And it was just, what a riot, though. And Jonathan Pryce, good gravy, that guy, he does not age.
Oh, I know.
Of course, neither is Ian Holm, although every time I see him, I always think of like, well, that's until you gave up the ring, dude. So, yeah, so it's but it's been good. It's been good to watch some of these older shows and finally go back and watch everything. So,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I haven't been watching any post-apocalyptic movies. I do since I just recently got Xbox 360 for the first time. I know. Congratulations. So I've been messing around a lot with the Xbox Live, and we have Netflix, so we went ahead and set it up, you know, to have the streaming Netflix on Xbox, which is revolutionary to me, which, you know, everyone else has been doing this for a year already. But
it's still so cool, though.
Yeah, it is. And so I'm just adding all kinds of movies, because before we would watch the streaming ones on the computer, and it was okay, but it wasn't, you know, the best experience ever. Well, now, you know, we get to actually watch them on the TV, so I'm adding all these streaming ones, and they have, like, Waterworld is on there, which I'm going to watch, and we have to talk about that. We have to have a show on Waterworld pretty soon. What else? There was a couple zombie movies from the like 70s and 80s that we got to talk about. There's one other. I think it was Day of the Triffids. Maybe I think they have that on there.
Is it the new one or the old one?
I think it's. Oh man, I don't know.
I'd be curious if it's the new one because I have. I kid you not. In the time since we last talked, I must have had 5 people recommend that movie to me, the newer one. And I'm like, okay, you guys have my full attention now because this is sounding like it's epic, and we just missed it.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been recommending that since, I think, the very first episode.
yeah, definitely. Well, and I mean, it was just the level of, it almost seems like everybody kind of jumped on board the bandwagon, and I kind of stood there on the sideline going, why do I have to be on this side of the Atlantic? Because it was just, like, I hate the fact that there's regional, but, like, sometimes. But that's one where I'm going to have to figure out a way to go check it out because, it sounds like just an absolute blast, the new one.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll definitely have a lot of movies to talk about. And that's one of those things where it's always a kind of a go-to topic, you know, because we can just hop on Netflix and watch it. And a lot of these, you know, we've seen before, of course, a lot of the older ones. But we just kind of have a little refresher course thanks to Netflix. So
yeah,
works out pretty well. But I guess has there been any news this week as far as other games or
quite a bit actually, games and movies both post-apocalyptic. One is the biggest piece of news I think that's shot out of nowhere was the collector's edition announced for Fallout Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
Which, and they're not fooling around. I mean, they have like poker chips from all the different parody casinos and stuff like that. I mean, now, of course, and I was just right there like, oh, thank you. You know, and I mean, the cool thing, and this is where I'm coming from when I saw that. And oh, I forgot to say, so good. The thing that dawned on me was the last time Fallout 3 came out, we saw the announcement of the collector's edition about a month and a half before the month and a half, 2 months before the game actually released. And so, you know, here they are talking like, oh, it's going to be, you know, fall, or, you know, they were kind of alluding to it would be the kind of same timeline. For them to be this early in the game showing us this stuff, you're going into websites now, you're seeing their advertisements. And I'm like, we're closer than we think we are.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. Don't be surprised if E3 doesn't suddenly turn into a release date there.
Oh, yeah, I was just actually going to say that. I imagine that's probably what's going to happen, and I am so excited.
And it's going to be out of nowhere. Now, the good thing, too, for those who are the movie side, and aren't we all, The Road comes out next week.
Oh.
And Book of Eli comes out June 15th.
Oh, nice.
So those of you who missed Book of Eli, and shame on you, because, yeah, Book of Eli was really good. Yeah, that and The Road as well. If you didn't get a chance to see The Road, that's definitely a must see as well.
Yeah, both of those. I might actually buy those.
Yeah, I'm going to be on board with you. It's funny too, because I was going to buy the Road on Blu-ray, and then I kind of stopped and I was like, does that make sense? I was like, great, I can get all the spare in high def now. And then I'm like, wait, that's really weird that I would do that. But yeah, hopefully the Book of Eli, and I haven't checked this out myself, but I'm hoping that there's quite a bit of behind the scenes. Like, I'm a real freak for the behind the scenes stuff.
Oh yeah, me too.
But I do know that there's going to be cut scenes, which there always is.
Oh yeah.
But there's supposed to be some, they were mentioning there's going to be some, like, they call it the Lost Tales. There's going to be some stuff more about the guy's story.
Oh.
So I'm curious to see what all is involved in that, because, boy, that story, Denzel Washington's character is just fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting. I always forget about that. Like, when a movie, I see a movie at the theater, and I'm like, yeah, that was a great experience. Nothing will really beat that. And then a DVD comes out, and I'm like, yeah, I already saw it at the movies. But then I always forget that they have all that extra stuff that is the reason, the reason to see it again.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, and this will be a good one, too. Oh, forgive me. I'm just looking it up as we speak. The Lost Tales section is about Gary Oldman's character.
Oh, okay.
That's interesting, correct me if I'm wrong. Did he or did he not act exactly like his character in The Professional? That was on the other day. I'm like, wait a minute. This is the same guy.
That's funny.
So good.
Cool. Well, I guess that's about it for the news, unless you didn't have anything else.
No, that pretty much brings us up to speed a little bit here. I'm sure there's little bits and pieces, but some of those will be coming soon.
Yeah, as soon as we start getting more of the summer blockbusters and the E3, which will be in 3 weeks
exactly,
from now?
Exactly 4 weeks, I think.
Yeah, that will be incredible. But yeah, other than that, what we're going to do on this episode is we're going to just talk, read some emails and answer some emails. And we figured the way to approach this time is to not read them first at all.
Yeah, this is entirely improv.
Yeah, entirely improv. And I have them in front of me, but they're all unread messages. And the reason I actually – it's funny because it kind of worked out like this. I kept them as unread just so that I would know to read them on the show. But I haven't read them at all. So I'm going to go through and read these. I see actually a few are from the same people. So and I've taken out all of the, so-and-so is following me on Twitter, so I won't be reading those. But but we have a lot of emails. We have 15 of them sitting here that we're going to go through. And Jonathan, of course, has not even seen the topics of these, the titles. So he doesn't,
that's correct.
Doesn't know at all. But these reach all the way back to March 25th is the earliest, and the latest one is the 17th, which was 2 days ago as of the time we're recording this, so that's not too bad. Before we read these, I just want to say again, I'm so glad that you guys are still, even though we sometimes take 3 weeks to make these shows, that you guys are still writing in and asking us questions and giving us, kind of helping us out with suggestions for other topics or even books to check out or movies to check out, things like that.
Yes.
That's what has always made this community work out really well. And even though we don't have official forums anymore, which we're going to talk about in a second. It's still nice to know that everyone can kind of still stick together and talk about these topics.
Keep doing that too, because that's, I mean, and you know, never feel like that, you know, this show is in no danger of ever going away. We're not, none of us are ever going to get bored or whatever. And that the one nice thing about it is, you know, there might be times like in this case, you know, we're doing an email show. We did one, you know, not too terrible long ago, but that's because there's some things in the pipeline that we're waiting for the timing just right, and it'll be worth it, believe me.
Yeah, and we do have some pretty big plans. Actually, one of the plans I wanted to mention, but before we get into these emails, remember when I came back from Dragon Con last year and I talked all about the costuming panel and all that stuff and how, you know, that's how I got into the whole costuming thing and it was so exciting, you remember?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've actually been talking to those people now, the coordinators, and they're not going to have a costuming panel this year, but they are going to have other panels on the post-apocalyptic track that I'm trying to get into them. I'm trying to be a panelist.
Yeah.
So if anyone out there is going to be at Dragon Con, I mean, it's still a few months away. It's the first week of September. But, you know, that's going to be – I'm trying really hard to get on one of those panels. It looks pretty good for me to be able to get on there. But also, I cannot say some of the other things I've heard about what they're going to have there, but it's going to be incredible. Let me just keep it at that. Special guests, let's just say that.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's
indeed.
It's going to be really incredible. So yeah, hopefully we'll get something with that where I can talk about you know, we can talk about on the show kind of preparing for that, and then after it we can talk about that, and we have some other guests that we're talking about lining up, and it should be pretty cool. So we have a lot of stuff in store.
Hopefully see a few listeners at the place too, which actually made me just think of something. Though I don't know if we mentioned on our last show, but there is while this is not directly post-apocalyptic, the Sony Fanfare in Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
I will be there at that Sony Fanfare, and it sounds like there is a chance that Sean may even be there as well.
Yeah, there's a really good chance. It's one of those things I won't be able to find out until a couple
close
weeks before. Yeah, but when is it? Is that in August? Or?
It's like August. I almost want to say it's like the second week of August. It's almost like the 5th through the 7th or something like that. Okay. I'll have to look at the exact dates, but it's going to be cool because if that does work out, I mean, it's funny. Me and Sean were just laughing at the fact that we've known each other. God, you would think we grew up together the way we are always talking. And all of a sudden, the other day, I'm just like, I don't think I ever met Sean face to face. And then Sean, wait a minute, I remember you made face to face. And that's, you know, that's how it was with, you know, Virgin Worlds, you know, Brent and Brendan. You know, they worked together forever. Now, wait, I never met you. And it's just so funny that it's come to that. And, you know, hearing about, you know, the ability to cross paths in that at the Fanfare. So those of you out there, listeners, you know, who, you know, are interested in the Sony side of it, maybe play EQ or EQ2, you know, let us know if you're going to be there. That would be really cool to meet some people.
Yeah, and I think what we could do if this happens and if I'm able to go, we should totally record a podcast out there. That would be cool.
Definitely. One right there in everything. That'd be hilarious.
Right in Vegas. So then like
Fallout Vegas.
What if they like actually released Fallout New Vegas like right around that time?
I would say the so good yelling, the echoing from my mouth would be enough that the windows would blow. I mean like Akira screaming. Kind of thing, you know, and then so good, but then we couldn't play because everybody's TV would be broken.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
I'll try not to scream.
All right, let's get into these emails. This first one is from Terrence, and this is about the Tom Savini book. I remember mentioning this a little while ago. This one, of course, like I said, is from March 25th. So some of these are a little old, but. We're catching up. He says, I realize this email is a bit dated in relation to the podcast timeline. Well, sorry, I messed that up even more. But you'll understand why. I was all caught up on my podcast with nothing to listen to. So since I'm a relatively new listener to TTA, I decided to go and find some past episodes that looked interesting to me. As a result, I listened to the Night of the Living Dead episode. I just wanted to say that I was also a big fan of Tom Savini's. At one time, I wanted to become a makeup artist, and I also owned a copy of the book Grand Illusions. I might have it stored away somewhere. I believe I had an earlier printing than you, because I know I read it in 1985, but if it was originally released under a different title, I must not have had a first printing. Anyway, one trick he described in the book was how to slice open your arm with a razor blade. I do remember that, actually. Yeah. He says, if you recall, you basically use a dull razor blade and a baby ear syringe filled with red-colored Karo syrup. Whenever I had to go give a demonstration speech in school, this was the illusion I chose to demonstrate. It always got a lot of ewes whenever the blood began to flow, and I did it several times in high school, college, and later trade school. That's cool, because I actually I'm looking at the book right now. It's on my bookshelf in this room, and it's funny because I do remember that part, and I remember wanting to try all of that stuff. He had like one for how to make it look like bullet, like you're being shot with blood packs that were, you know, and stuff like that. And I just remember being young, like, and just, and he says he got his in 85. I probably got mine in about 87 or so. So it's probably similar timeline, I'd say. Probably the same printing, I would say. But, yeah, that was cool to hear from Terrence's little flashback on our Night of the Living Dead show.
Yeah, and his name is Terrence, which is also the city for the AI in Fallen Earth. You see what I'm doing? Like, everyone, I'm going to be like, now, can I make this sound post-apocalyptic even more? 6 degrees of post-apocalyptic.
6 degrees of Fallen Earth.
Like, yeah, 6 degrees of Fallen Earth.
Like 2 degrees of Fallen Earth with us sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay, so on to this next one. This one is from Sam. This is a little longer one. He says, hey guys, just dropping a line to let you know you got another listener subscribed. I found your podcast through various podcasts, the most notable being through MMO Voices and Jeremy Goodson's gushing over the road and mentioning your cast as a good post-apocalyptic source.
For heaven's sakes.
I myself am a new podcaster thanks to the influence of the guys at MMO Voices, and your podcast has been a great example of what you can do and liven me up some inspiration to do some more with my podcast as a result. Anyway, on to some more PA stuff. As a disclaimer, I enjoy PA, but it is not my main love. My favorite genre is Lovecraftian and Robert E. Howard themes.
Ooh, hey, yes.
Nothing wrong with that. Essentially, I love writing from the turn of the century, 1984 and the day of the Earth stood still, etc., etc. Anyway, from the podcasts I have heard so far, I have a few suggestions for media you may or may not have seen. Aeon Flux. Besides being a fun film, it is a very unique view of the end of the world. A virus wipes out 99.9% of the population and sterilizes the survivors. Living in a utopia, Aeon Flux works as an assassin. Anyway, you can watch it from there if you haven't. Actually, that's the one where the cartoon they had on MTV a while back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 20 years
ago. Good show. Yeah, it was back during the Beavis and Butthead era.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking too. It's like on it was on after it or before it or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one he recommends is Carriers. It's a 2009 film, again, a pandemic film. It follows a group of four as they try to travel to the coast to a house where the two brothers grew up. It starts as a normal film with no hint of the death that has claimed almost everyone, and the first 5 minutes plays like any road trip film. From there, they meet various people and make various choices to try and survive. A great look into a sudden and devastating event where the world's infrastructure stands and what you might have to do to survive. That sounds
pretty cool. Really good show. He's right. It was actually one you're going to find in the Red Box, like even right now. And it's got Chris Pine, who played, you know, Captain Kirk in the new Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, he's right. That is a really good movie.
I have to see that. That's a brand new movie too.
I can't believe I forgot about that one. Yeah, that one's a fairly new. I think it was right to DVD or something, because I noticed it in Redbox, and then my buddy Rob was like, "Oh yeah, you've got to watch that."
Yeah,
well, love cool. to check that one out.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's another one to write down. Where's my paper here?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, okay, you ready for the next the post apocalyptic link? There, his name's Sam. Sam Worthington, Terminator Salvation. Ah, see, oh hey. Okay, now that's just ridiculous. Okay, anyways, back.
But how can you connect it to Fallen Earth? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's true. Fallen Earth. Sam. Fallen Earth, no. Yeah, that didn't work.
That's all right. I'll forgive you this time. Okay, so he keeps going on. He says, Final Fantasy VII is another suggestion. He says, from other podcasts, I know, Sean, you are not a fan of the series. Actually, that's not true because I
really good.
I have 13, and I play it. It's a great game. Yeah. I don't really play any of the other ones, though. But he says, but the Final Fantasy VII... Yeah, Final Fantasy VII Advent Children movie deals with the aftermath of the destruction of the major city on the planet. In a sense, it is a contained apocalypse. In the game, towards the end, Sephiroth summons a meteor to strike the Earth, and the meteor manages to destroy Midgar before the full impact destroys the planet. However, the wound causes the Earth to start a strikeout at humans, as well as causing a sickness to strike the children as well. Anyway, it's a thin argument to try to put a PA spin on Final Fantasy VII, but I am a fanboy and everything is about Final Fantasy.
Huh. Yeah, no, and VII is good. And if I remember right, the story in Final Fantasy VII was post-apocalyptic anyway. Everything was kind of like ruined from, oh heavens, it's been years. They had a war, something happened where everything was kind of in ruin and Midgard was sort of like the totalitarian, I got to use that word twice, city in part of the world.
You know, when you think about it, there are actually a lot of games that center around, I mean, you have World of Warcraft's next expansion is Cataclysm.
That's true.
I mean, there you go. Ion is all about another Cataclysm where a big kind of world-ending event happens so it's pretty amazing. I mean, even if it's not kind of a, you know, modern day destroyed society kind of thing, there are a lot of games and movies and everything that, even in at their roots, they relay back after a big catastrophic event.
Yes. It's always a war, an event, and the Japanese are very good at that. And now, one thing I will say, the Advent Children movie, I haven't really watched that all the way through because it was sort of like Advent confusion. But it's like my friend, like, well, I don't know what the story means. He's like, neither do I, but it's got Sephiroth, woo, you know. But I've heard just from the scenes alone, there's quite a lot of post-apocalyptic look to it. And the story, it's definitely worth a peek.
Cool. Yeah.
Somebody out there is like, a peek? It's great. That was, you know.
Okay, so his email keeps going on. He says, finally, a huge favor. He actually writes huge, like, way across the screen here. He says, I've been asking a few other quality podcasting legends like yourself to offer me a soundbite for my own podcast, Vegabond Gaming. It's a solo-hosted podcast which covers gaming in any of the forms I love. If at all possible, I would love a quick soundbite from you guys to use on the show as an intro, something like, this is Sean and Jonathan from the Through the Aftermath podcast, hiding from raiders in the wasteland, and you are listening to Vegabond Gaming. Yeah, that sounds kind of cool. He keeps going on here a little bit about, more about his podcast and what about the intro and everything. So, yeah, we can definitely do that. That would be kind of cool. I'm going to mark this, actually, so that we can.
Yeah, we'll give it a good little twist, a little role-played fun little twist to it.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that after we record this, and
I can
snip it out and send it. That'd be cool. Let's see. Okay, so going back. Oh, Terrence writes in again. He says, you've probably heard this, but if not, I thought I'd pass it along. It's, what is this? See, this is why you should always prepare first. Oh, chud.com.
Oh, the Chuds.
Yes. It's the beautiful post-apocalypse of Enslaved. Talking about, this game. Is this a game? Yeah, by Namco. Enslaved. Wow.
Enslaved. Yeah, it's done by the... It's almost like a God of War-looking action game.
Wow, that is gorgeous.
Yeah, and it looks incredible. I was really excited because I think they just barely... I don't know if they just announced it or that was when we first got a good look at it, but they released a trailer for it. And it did. It looked really, really good. It feels very Doomsday. The movie Doomsday, it feels a lot like that, and the two of them, the two characters are linked together.
Yeah, it's supposed to it takes place in 150 years from now, and the world has been ruined by war and an ecological disaster.
Only
a handful of survivors remaining. That looks pretty cool. Man, that is a gorgeous looking game.
Yeah, it looks like a blast. It reminds me, to be honest, it reminds me a lot, if you've ever played that PlayStation game PlayStation 2 game called Eco, where you sort of had the one character you played and the other character you were kind of taking with you. Incredible game. But it kind of has that feel to it. Like, I'm not sure if they co-op together or if it's a thing where you play the one character and the other character just kind of, like, helps out in her way or his way, depending which one you play, I suppose. But looks really
good. That's cool. Yeah, and they make a point here to say that if you're sick of the brown and gray dirt-strewn worlds of post-apocalyptic games, and this is the one for you because it's, like, a lot more colorful. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Well, cool. Let's see. Let's go to this next one. This is Aiken from LA again.
Oh, Aiken! Yay!
He says, "Hey guys, real quick email. I have a much larger one in the works for the last two episodes. I'm a bum. What can I say?" Anyway, the Emberverse series is a favorite of mine. But if you're interested in EMP, you need to check out 1 Second After by William R. Fortune. Great book and frighteningly real. Frankly, it's the most realistic scenario for a cataclysmic apocalypse to come out in a while. Actually, that sounds familiar. We might have had a reader or a listener suggest that to us before. Not sure, but and he goes on. He says, "Also, Patriots. I've been following that one since it was a free text file downloadable from that new interweb thingy back in the 90s. It's cool you guys have found it. I own 2 copies now. The latest release has enough new material and changes to make it worth buying."
Oh,
anyway,
yeah.
And then this is timely here. This is from April 2nd, but he says, "If you guys make it to E3, well, I was going to offer to get you in, but since you're both in the games industry, you can probably handle that yourself. But if you want to get together for chow sometime or something, let me know." Hey, that would be cool, actually.
That would be really cool.
Because he lives in LA. I should talk to him about that. That'd be cool. So, Aiken, if you're listening to this definitely before E3, I'm going to send you an email. Let me mark that right now. Cool. Okay, so this next email, this is from David from Houston. And he says, "Hey, guys, hope you're still alive out there. I haven't caught any broadcasts from you lately, and I'm starting to worry." This is from April 4th. "Did you guys ever read Time Magazine? In the April 5th, 2010 issue, there was an article about the Kangbashi district of Ordo City in Inner Mongolia in China. The city was built to house over 1 million people, yet almost no one lives there. It's virtually empty. Here's a link to the story," and I could put this in the show notes. The page will lead you to pictures of the city. Actually, I'm going to click on this because I am really curious about this.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, yeah, it looks like it's just kind of a normal city, but no one lives there. There are not a lot of pictures, but I'm going to put a link to this anyway in the show notes. But he goes on, he says, "If you remember Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, it was filmed in downtown LA at a business park before it opened. Imagine what they could do with an entire city. Hey, the Planet
Heck
of the Apes..."
Yeah.
"says, hey, the Planet of the Apes films and or book might be a good series to review sometime." Hey, that's a good idea.
Amen.
"I guess to save on costs, a film crew could just head to Detroit."
Yeah. "And film anywhere."
Yeah. It says, "Isn't 1/3 of the city empty now? I'm looking forward to the intro show and more regular shows. Thanks, David from Houston." Yeah, that was actually, I think he wrote this back before I went to that farm. And so we took a little bit of time off there, but, and we did it again. So, cool. Let's see. Okay, this is one from Bill in Hawaii. He writes to us a few times here, and we need to talk about his forum. And I don't think he mentions it in this one, but we'll talk about that in a second. "Hey guys, wanted to pass along 2 people who you might consider interviewing for the show. One is Craig DeLuis, author of Tooth and Nail, a 28 Days Later-ish story set in New York." And then he gives me his email address. "I did a review of his book on quietearth.us, and then he leaves a link to that. He says, "And then I traded some email with him. He said he'd be glad to do an interview by email, but I'm sure he'd do a phone one too if it meant promoting his book. He's an independent part-time author, and I think it would be interesting to hear his thoughts on the PA genre. Another possibility might be the guys who do the 118 migration audio drama." And that's 118migration.com. "It's a post-apocalyptic zombie horror story, basically. I don't know them personally, but they mentioned doing interviews on their Twitter stream, so they would probably be into it." And then he gives the Twitter for them. It's basically at 118migration. "Waiting patiently for the next show, Bill in Hawaii."
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool. That's we're always looking for people to have on the show for interviews, you know, like we were talking earlier. So that would be cool. And actually, that's one of those things we need to do more, because we tend to, you know, like we've said many, many times, we tend to go, so what should we talk about this week? Let's do a movie, or let's do so that would be cool to kind of schedule a few of these, you know, try to get some people together for especially authors. I think that would be really interesting. You know, we've had, from the guests we've had, of course, you know, Pete Hines, and we've had Chris from RPG Objects. And they've all been really great interviews and really great shows, I think. So we need to do that a lot more often, I think.
Yeah.
Cool. Here's another one, actually, about another podcast. This is from Aaron, and he says, Sean and John, have you checked out the post-apocalyptic podcast We're Alive? It's about a group of people who band together after the zombie apocalypse. It's rad. Lots of audio gore. Listen to Zed Splatter. Anyway, it's not as awesome as your podcast, but it is addictive. And then he gives a feed for it. We're Alive. Yeah, that's another one I'll put in the show notes for today. But have you heard of that at all?
I haven't. I will be checking it out now.
Yeah, I think I'm always fascinated. Like, you know, actually you helped me out with this, but I did kind of an audio book for a little while there, Eve of Adam.
Yeah.
And that was something that I wanted to do as kind of a story, like a, you know, work of fiction, but also read it. So that it was audio, you know, like an audiobook kind of thing. So I'm always fascinated by those types of things. And this sounds like it would be right up my alley, because it's a podcast that's set. It sounds like it's an ongoing thing, you know, which would be pretty cool. It's not like it's like Lost, you know, you never know when it's going to end.
Yeah.
Which ironically is ending next week.
So they say.
Yeah, so they say. Well, cool. Yeah, we'll definitely check that out. Maybe, again, there's another possibility, maybe for some interviews or something.
Yeah, I'll have to check that one out. Now here's the big question. Did he say rad as meaning rad sickness? Ah.
I'm sure he did. I'm sure there was
That's what he meant. See, oh, okay, the linking thing's got to stop. I'm being ridiculous. Anyway.
Anyway, so next email, this is again from Bill from Hawaii again. And here's where he talks about his forum. Poor Bill, he's been asking us to mention this for a long time, but I think the last couple shows we kept forgetting, but we're horrible. So here, hey, Sean and Jonathan, I know you guys are tired of people telling you that you need to restart a forum, but it is really a good idea. So I decided to set up my own post-apocalyptic forum at forum.postapocalyptic.info. It's a pretty easy URL to remember there, but I will – again, put that in the show notes for everyone. I'll put it really big. I'll put it in bold, because we owe it to Bill.
We do. Well, and you know, truth be told, I'm part of the forum now there, and I have to say, he did an incredible job. It's very high class and very well done, and you can tell that. You know, you can see when there's a forum, and you can tell the person is sort of like, it's a byproduct of whatever he does. Like, the forum, it's here you go.
Yeah.
You know, like Brad McQuaid. But in this case, you can tell this is extremely well done, and I got to give him credit. He's done one better than we ever could have, and it's, you know, kudos to him for pulling that off. And you know, like I said, I'm on there all the time now. So
that's cool.
Yeah, a lot of good people.
I remember. You know, with like Megaton and the other one he did, I think it was the post-apocalyptic, post-apocalyptic.info is the other one he did. But yeah, mm-hmm. Those are always really, every time I've checked those out, they're always really nice looking sites. So,
yeah.
And that's one of those things where it could be like an unofficial Through the Aftermath forum, you know, or where you could go there and talk about the show and everything.
Exactly.
Since we're, I can't bring myself to bring another forum to life. I don't know.
Well, and now there's no need. I mean, when you see this one, it's like, hey, because hey, Megaton, he's our pal. So he's, you know, every time we have a new episode, he pops up a post for us.
Oh, cool.
That we have one. And they have a media section, and they've got one for the other media. So yeah, that's definitely one to check out whenever we almost have to have one that just is like podcast now, because the podcasts are almost getting more fancier than the movies and the games and the books.
That's true. So his email continues here. He says, it's only been up for a few days. And he sent this on April 13th. So it's a little over a month old now, but he says, we've only got 6 members so far. I was hoping you could check it out. And if you approve that, you could help to spread the word a bit, which we've just done. There you go.
Yeah, indeed, yes.
And let's see, I'm kind of skimming this. He talks about how he wants input and suggestions from the Through the Aftermath community. You know, one of those things where he wants to know how to run it, and like everything from categories to include and everything like that. He says, hopefully we'll build up the community enough so that it will be the default site for anyone wanting to discuss anything relating to the post-apocalyptic genre. And he says, unless, of course, you really do plan to start your own forums again, but it sounds like that's not in your plan, so I'm hoping you'll adopt mine instead. Yeah, there you go, Bill. I mean, you got it. We are not – it's like – it's one of those things – I mean, you know, we've explained what happened to the last ones. You just get hackers and, you know, it's just – it's one of those things where I'm just – I don't want to even want to deal with that, you know, dealing with people who spend their time making other people's lives crappy. You know, it's like –
yeah.
It's like, you won, okay, whatever, but I'm not going to play that game anymore.
Yeah, no, and his team, that was so weird, too. Looking back at that, yeah. I'm like, what happened there? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, no, he's done a very good job, and it's very, very high class, and I definitely give that my thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. And I will definitely put a link to that in the show notes, so if anyone wants to check it out, and if you miss our forums, and you want to go talk to, you know, kind of the aftermath of the... Through the Aftermath forums? How's that?
The Aftermath Aftermath.
Yeah. Then you can head over there and check that out. Okay, so this next one is from Rob. He's written to us a few times, actually. Not your friend Rob, but...
oh, yeah.
But another Rob. He says, still loving the show. Chernobyl and Cuban Missile Crisis were awesome. I hope he means the episodes we did, not the actual.
Those events were fantastic. That was very kind.
Do you guys know of a list of post-apocalyptic books? Hey, check out postapocalyptic.info, actually.
Yeah.
I think Bill...
Or the forums at yeah. Megaton's site.
Yo, yeah, exactly.
Yes.
There you go.
Awesome.
I have several, but I'm always looking for more. I do audiobooks on my iPod, which is cool, because I can have a bunch with me every day to choose from.
Amen.
I want to find Alas Babylon on CD, he says. I just listened to Z for Zachariah. It was great. I have to listen to that. I've also been watching the BBC show Survivors. Hey.
Yes.
He says he likes it.
Very good.
Keep your heads up and your dish up. Oh, keep your heads down and your dish up. I just messed that up. Wow.
That's what we should say. Like, the dish was down. That's why there was 3 weeks. It's like we had to scavenge the metal.
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible.
There's another Fallen Earth reference.
Yeah, well, that's true.
All right, so this next one is, wow, this is from Terrence again. Terrence, we love you. This is quite an honor.
Yes.
He says, hey, guys. Hey, wait, you know what? I just thought of something. Maybe it's people from Terrence writing to us.
That's true. It could be like we're and they're only able to get a certain amount of letters into the message, and so they just have to skip the name part.
There you go.
Or maybe they're all just assimilated and they are one.
Oh. Right.
That was ridiculous. This is okay. Why we don't improv it. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
So Terrence says, hey, guys, just listen to your Things to Do in the Capital Wasteland episode. I know it's a bit old, but I wanted to just write and tell you about something that tickles me as I play Fallout 3. I've been playing for a while, but I just made it to Tenpenny Tower. As we all know, most of the residents have a strong aversion to ghouls and treat them as trash. However, it seems they are perfectly fine with super mutants. At least I get that impression from the fact that no one voiced a single complaint about the 7-foot-plus super mutant Fox following me throughout their fine residence. Come to think of it, Riley's Rangers never took a second look at him as well, even though super muties are the bane of their existence. That's the joy of playing with pre-programmed NPCs who are unable to adapt to the current situation, a common limitation of nearly all computer adventures. Great show, Terrence.
This is the part where some professor goes, well, actually, it was very indicative of the symbolism of the racism in our society. And that's the part where I just get up and walk out of the classroom and never go back to college.
Wow.
That was deep.
That was deep, yes.
He's right, though. That's funny he says that. The reason I started laughing, too, is because I kid you not, I literally just had that exact same thing happen when I was playing Fallout 3 the other day, because I don't know where Falks was waiting for me. Like, somehow I'd lost track of him, and I ended up, like, picking him back up, like, oh, dude, there you are. Wait, you were gone, like, a year ago. And I went walking back to Tenpenny, and there he is with me. I go walking in, I'm thinking, I hope they don't unload on me for this. And they didn't. But they really hate ghouls, I guess.
I think I got Fox later in the game after I already turned Ten Penny Tower over to the ghouls. So I never got to experience that. But what I always thought was funny too is you get that mask, the ghoul mask.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like they don't like all you have to do is put on a rubber mask and then the ghouls are like, oh, he's a ghoul. And I just think that's funny. But if you have it on, I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you don't have it on and they're in your vicinity and then you put it on, it doesn't work. They still, well, at least last time I played it, they still think you're a regular person. So they still,
yeah.
But yeah, good times.
That's funny.
Boy, I haven't played Fallout 3 in a long time.
That's definitely one to bust out for the Xbox.
After Red Dead Redemption.
After Red Dead Redemption.
And by that time,
I was so excited I couldn't say the words.
By that time, Fable 3 will be out, and then New Vegas. Oh, Jesus.
Vegas, oh, dear.
And then Brink and Rage. And oh, okay. Anyway. Oh, here we go. This is actually another recommendation for William Fortune, One Second After. So we definitely need to read that book. This is actually from Rob again. He says, have you guys read One Second After? It's an incredible post-apocalyptic book dealing with an EMP attack. In ways, it reminds me of Jericho with some of the things, some of the way things happen there. I listened to the audiobook 13 and a half hours, but well worth it. Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
I highly recommend it. And he actually included the book cover for it, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
And I thought this was interesting. It says, with an introduction by Newt Gingrich.
That's interesting.
I don't know what that means.
I was like, is that a joke? Is he serious?
It's on the book cover. It's
wow.
Kind of weird. Yeah, so that will be another one that we need to definitely check out and talk about.
Yeah.
I think the audio version might be more my speed, unless we want to talk about it in about 2 years from now, because I'm a very slow reader. Actually, my problem is, and I know I've said this before, I fall asleep way too easily when I read. So,
sure.
So yeah, audiobook it is.
That's
nice. Let's see. Okay, our next one. This is actually from Bill again, reminding us about the forums. So I'll skip that. Sarah Pickle. Wow, I haven't heard from Sarah.
Sarah, yes.
Yeah, Sarah's actually been around Shut Up, We're Talking. She was just recently on that. Sarah, actually, I've known since the Gax days, back when Gary Gannon's Gax, and back when I did Tabula Cast for Tabula.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's a long time ago. We actually played in-game a few times with Sarah. Anyway, so Sarah writes in and says, this isn't really a question so much as just food for thought, but have you ever wondered what life would be like for people at Fort Knox or some other major gold reserve after a nuclear apocalypse? All this gold around, but none of it is worth anything. You can't eat it. Electronics manufacturing is the last thing on your mind, and then there is too much of it to trade on its rarity.
That's right.
Wow, that's...
irony comes full circle.
Yeah, that's...
And the only people that care is John Travolta and the rest of the Cyclos. Who out there got that reference? Shame on you. You watched that movie.
Was that Battlefield Earth?
It was. And I'm kidding, too, because I actually got a hoot. I thought that movie was a hoot, but that, you know, we all love that stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, I haven't really thought about that before, but it's one of those things where you think about the people who are working underground anyway, you know, not only in kind of high security places like that. And I think Sarah's talking more about, you know, being around all that gold and just thinking about the fact that it's not worth anything.
Right.
I think anything you think about would be could correlate to that. You know, if you worked in an electronics store and you had all these giant HDTVs all around you and these computers and these, you know, high-tech equipment, and, you know, the world ends in some way where it doesn't destroy everything. Let's say that, like, the Emberverse series where all electronics go out. So it's the same thing. You're surrounded by all this stuff that 5 minutes ago was worth so much money and was worth so much – it was just very valuable, and now it's worth absolutely nothing. And I think that is pretty it is pretty ironic. Although I think if it came down to it, I would imagine if society had to rebuild itself, gold would probably still maybe retain some type of value, you know, sometime in the future, just because of its rarity and everything, and because of its it already has this attachment towards value. So
and
maybe,
it never taints. It never gets all – you never have to – like silver gets all – what's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't –
like tarnish?
Tarnish. Yeah, I was going to say chafe, but that's only depending where you wear it. That was really what I was going to say. That's so bad. But no, I mean, it doesn't tarnish. It keeps that gleam in it. And you know what? This sounds ridiculously cliche, but anything that can survive the Roman Empire's fall and then turn right back around and be still valuable all this time, it's timeless.
Yeah. I think it would probably be one of those things that would, and the same with like precious jewelry, you know, diamonds and things like that would probably retain some type of value. Now, when you start thinking about things that would absolutely lose value, think about banks, you know, all the paper money that's in vaults and stuff like that. That stuff would be absolutely, I mean, that would be fire starters and stuff like that. That would be all it would be worth. But I think gold would probably still retain some type of value. Maybe not immediately because people would be worrying more about eating and stuff like that. But I think once society rebuilt, it would probably retain something.
Yeah.
Wow, that was deep.
That was really deep. We got like philosophical and everything.
Talking about
still had a John
Empire.
Travolta joke in there. That was crazy.
That's true. All right, so it looks like our last one here is from Pyro. And he says, check this bad boy out. Probably old news, but I got excited when I jailbroke my iPhone and found this theme. It also comes in white, red, amber, and blue. And it is, let's see, he has a picture of it, and it is actually the Fallout, all the icons from Fallout.
Oh, wow.
On your iPhone.
Oh,
and
yay!
It's pretty cool because even at the top, it has, like where the network connection at the very top, it has that.
Yeah.
Everything is in like this green, you know, the Pip-Boy green glow. But it's pretty cool. It actually has icons for all this different stuff, even for, you know, the phone and settings and photos and Safari. It's even got, that's pretty cool.
So I want that. I must have it.
Actually, you know, I looked around at kind of rustic, rusted, old, you know, like dilapidated themes, which mm-hmm. you can only get if you jailbreak your iPhone, actually.
Right.
But which I don't recommend. No.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But I was looking around at some, and they have this one that's like rusted metal, and it makes it look like your iPhone is actually rusted metal. Like the background is like that, and then each icon looks like these kind of little plates of rusted metal that are like screwed into the background. It's really, really cool. I really like it. I didn't get it just because I didn't think it was as readable. I like the readability of the default, you know, iPhone.
Yeah.
But that's pretty cool. If you're into that, though, it's cool to know that they have a Fallout 3 one with all the Pip-Boy.
I'll have to write that one down. Speaking of that, too, your Xbox, and Xbox listeners out there who don't already know this, they probably are ahead of me on this, but make sure you check out the Fallout 3 dynamic theme for Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it'll show your like your different friends and everything in different places in Fallout, which is funny because most of them, when they're not online, it just shows them sleeping. And so every time I turn that on, my son's always like, is he sleeping because he's in the subway? And I'm like, yeah. Don't we all?
That's awesome. Yeah, we have to get together, though. And I'm going to go ahead and just say my gamer tag here if anyone wants to listen, to join up. Because on the other podcast I do, Massively Speaking, I mentioned it. And I got a lot of good response from it. A lot of people have played Red Dead Redemption with a couple of people and a couple other games. But it's Epic Beard is my gamer tag. It's EPYKBEARD. So I only spelled Epic differently. But go ahead and add me on there, and you know, we could play. And I don't have very many games. I have Fable 2, Final Fantasy 13, Red Dead Redemption, Halo ODST, and Forza 3. Those last two came with the console. But I'd love to play with some people, get together in some of those games, and
definitely
have some fun.
Yeah, we're always around. Yeah, mine is beans and cheese. It's one word, and it shows that I was even survival-minded at the time I picked the name. Actually, you know, I was in the food aisle at Target. And yes, that's a true story. But yeah, as soon as you see my little icon, you'll be like, yeah, that's him. Yeah, that's him. So good. So good.
That's cool. Yeah, I think it would be cool because even the times I've played with, you know, Massively Speaking listeners, it's been a lot of fun. And it would be cool to play more with, you know, through the Aftermath listeners. Although I regret that I don't have Fallout 3 on the Xbox. But Maybe I'll have to get that now.
Repentance is an everyday process, my friend.
Well, even like New Vegas, you know, when that comes out.
Oh, New Vegas. Yeah, now that's
true. I mean, yeah, we'll all be like playing that together. I wonder if they'll have like a co-op mode.
You know, if they probably won't, but okay, now I'm sick. Now I'm depressed. It's like Fallout Vegas, yay, no co-op. But Brink will have that, so we can rejoice. And there's always Left 4 Dead 2.
Yes, that's true. Although I have that on PC.
So. Yeah, me too. That was sad.
Well, cool. I guess, you know, I can't believe we made it through all those emails, but it has been an hour. And we actually flew through a lot of this. People were nice to us, and they didn't ask a lot of questions. Which
that's true. They weren't asking that. Hey, what happened to the last episode? Or gee, John, where's part one of your intro episode? Because you know, we won't get into detail by any means. But let's just say that on the way to the recording station in the desert, these raiders took the recording and ran with it, and we caught them. Boy, howdy, we caught them. But that's about as much roleplay as I can say. It's not sound ridiculous. But sure. Yes, that fortunately, woohoo, we'll have that intro episode up there right alongside the other episode, which I hope shows up very quickly.
Yeah.
A lot outside of our control, but that's a long story.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, actually, you said that you're glad they didn't write in and say that. They actually did, but I didn't read those.
I was afraid that was happening. So I was reading them to the punch and taking the gunshot. I was putting the gun to my own head before they pointed it at me. Like, look, I'm already doing it. Sorry.
Well, cool. So I guess that is about it for this show. And for next show, we're going to try to work on something special since we kind of got lazy this time with just an email show. So. No, but we're going to try to do something special for next show, which,
yes.
And E3 will be like we said, about 4 weeks from now. So the show after that, which, you know, should be two shows from now, we'll have that out, and I should be able to talk about all the impressions from, you know, maybe there will be a new Vegas announcement, yeah. or even like Rage or Brink or any of those kind of games. But that should be pretty cool.
Does that mean I have to evolve my so good because now it's Vegas? Do I have to sound like
old Blue Eyes?
Yeah, so he's like, so good. Oh, yeah.
Yep, that's exactly what you have to do every time.
I can't believe I just did that without laughing. That's why my name is Beans and Trees. All right, there we go.
All right, so I guess that'll do it for this episode. So until next time, this is Sean.
And this is Jonathan saying, stay alive up there. So good. Oh my God, dude. I can't believe my voice didn't crack like Bobby Brady or something.